Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to episode 86 of Soccer Over Gotham. We have a great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We got a lot. In front of a lively crowd of 6,000 plus at Red Bull Arena, Gotham dominates a very good spirit side. They get 3 points closer to the Shield and the playoffs, a game in which Esther gets a brace and puts the league on notice. Also, we have, after a successful loan, Katie Stengel decides to finish the job here at Gotham and signs a permanent deal. I say get ready, nerds. There's going to be a lot of stats and tactical discussion on this show. We got a whole bunch to talk about. We're going to get caught up on the playoff scenarios, see where Gotham sits in relation to the playoffs and the Shield hunt. Let's get into it. Ruby, how are you? It's good to hear your voice.
Back, and I'm so happy to be back. I am feeling so much better, and it feels like forever that I haven't been in the pod. But I'm so much better, and that's the important thing. At first, I thought it was a flu and ended up being COVID, unfortunately. It really sucked. It really knocked me down, but I'm finally feeling better and feeling like myself. And I'm so excited to talk about this game with you. And by the way, it's also good to hear your voice. How have you been, Gary?
Speaking of my voice, another random person told me I had a podcasting or audiobook voice randomly, which is nice, which is funny because no one ever told me that before I started a podcast. So maybe my voice is adapting to hearing it now.
Well, now you know.
Yeah. I went to the rivalry. I went to a Lehigh University, Lafayette University women's soccer match yesterday. And it was fantastic. So obviously this is the dream time for soccer. The weather was perfect, no rain in the sky, and the teams fought each other really hard. And there's some talented players on those squads. Good to see Coach Gina Lewandowski, hashtag One Scotland, nice. in person, which is always nice. Lafayette ended up winning 1-0. The center back from Lehigh got caught in that. Do I head the ball back to the keeper? Do I blast it out? And it just bounced right to Lafayette's forward, and she blasted a far post from the opposite side, and was on a rope. It was a beautiful goal, and that's all it took. Lehigh had a bunch of chances, hit the post, and just could not make it happen. So sorry, Gina. I'm hopefully going to see a Lehigh game again next weekend, I think. So very, very happy to see her again.
I look at you. But you said that's on literally your backyard, so you have no excuses.
Yes, it is true. And let's talk about this team. So let's just get right into it. Katie Stengel is here to stay, signed until 2025.
Wow. I'm telling you, they're trying to build this team. Most of these players are signed until 2025, so we're going to have, consistency in this team. And I'm really happy to hear this news. I mean, Gotham keeps getting more dangerous and lethal, which is what they have been missing. I feel we're going in the right direction, and they're carefully selecting talented players that just complement their teammates and complement Juan Carlos' style of play.
Yeah, this is it's the first time since I've been following the team that players want to come here. It's a nice feeling. Couldn't be happier. We've been lobbying for this. Katie Stengel says, when I came to Gotham FC, I wanted to give everything I had to this temporary opportunity. I feel incredibly fortunate to continue at the club, building a foundation and something special through professionalism and exciting style of play. And just for me personally, that's exactly why I wanted her here. She came into this temporary situation and worked really hard to fit in, and she got it right. The mentality is exactly what made her so good for so long. Last episode, I ran off a long list of super talented players that Gotham has signed to 2025. Add Katie to that list. What a 1-2 punch of Esther and Katie.
Yes.
Also, speaking of last week, Ruby, don't do that to me again. It was terrible.
Oh my God. I won't. I'll try not to.
It's different because it's not just doing the podcast by yourself. I had to edit the podcast myself. So I had to listen to myself and then edit all those things out. Ugh. It's terrible.
Well, sorry, you missed my beautiful voice and editing it.
All right. On the other side of that, Gotham FC loans Fava to the Portuguese club SL Benfica. What are your thoughts, Ruby?
I believe this was the right move for her. She will get the opportunity to play more over there, hopefully. And in a way, I felt she was not able to adapt to the style of play here. Some games she barely touched the ball and was not able to score a goal while she played for Gotham. I mean, she only got to play 5 games, in part because she was injured for a period of time as well, so she wasn't able to play. I just want to say good luck to her and go get them.
Yeah, I felt the same way as you did. I felt there was a little bit disconnection between her and her teammates when she was on the field for that short time. Obviously, she's coming from a new league and a new environment, a new playing style, and sometimes it takes the players a little bit longer than others. She's definitely talented, and obviously Esther and Katie here, her minutes are going to be even shorter than it already was. Might as well let her go get some minutes. So we're rooting for you, Fava. Go get those minutes. Now let's just get to this game. This game was so much fun. Now every game from here on out, it's a playoff game. Every team needs all 3 points. And this is a battle of the top 2 pressing teams in women's soccer. We're going to go back on that point a couple times in this episode. With 4 games left to play, this is a quote from the NWSL. No one can secure a berth in the playoffs or be eliminated from contention in week 19, which is pure chaos. It is. All right. Going into this game, Gotham is undefeated in 6 home games. This is the first of 3 last home games for Allie Krieger. On the other side, the Spirit, despite being 1 point behind Gotham, are in a desperate spot. They dropped all 3 points to the Chicago Red Stars last week. They're going to be desperate to get all their points. They are the 3rd ranked team away from home. But before we get into this, I have been told that Freya, #OnceGotham, was on the call for this one. What did you think of that, Ruby?
I'm going to be honest. So when I was watching the game from home, I was not really paying attention to the commentary because sometimes they're not the greatest. And then I realized it was Freya because when they started talking about Hot and how she was the one who drafted her, I was like, oh, wait, that's Freya Kum talking. That this is her. Yeah, I think this is good for her. This is good for Freya. Maybe she's just taking a break from coaching right now. After not having much success with Angel City, she probably wants to do something else. I don't know. I know she was on Fox for the World Cup, and now she's doing commentary for the NWSL. If that's where she wants to go, good for her.
Okay, so let's get over to the roster and injury report. It is a really long one. Imani Dorsey is out with an excused absence. Kristen Edmonds is still out for her concussion protocol. And then we have a list of lower leg injuries. We have Allie Long, Christy Mewis, Abby Smith. Taylor Smith is with a thigh injury. Taryn Torres, McCall Zerboni, out of season ending injury with her knee. A questionable was Kelly O'Hara for a lower leg also. And a late scratch of Jenna Tinelli with a bad back, which is devastating news. Now, Ruby, this was an interesting question that was brought up on Twitter. Of the list that you see there, minus the season-ending injuries, is there a player on that list that walks back into a starting role automatically?
This one's tough, let me tell you, because, I mean, a lot of people have done such a great job, even with this long list of injured players. But if I have to say someone, maybe Mewis. Again, it's so hard to assume that anyone will automatically come back to the starting lineup because the players that have stepped up have been working their butts off for a spot.
I agree with you. I think Abby, maybe at this point. I mean, I think Mandy's been doing a fantastic job. And speaking of Mandy, I tried to reassure everybody that Mandy is a solid number one keeper. And over these past couple of games, even if Gotham, you know, gave up 3 goals against North Carolina, I haven't seen a single, you know, we need Abby back in goal right away. Because I think Mandy is a solid keeper, and I think I'm comfortable with either of them being back there. But Abby was on a incredible run, so I think she could obviously jump back into a starting spot. I do agree with you on Mewis. It would be interesting to see where she fits there, because I mean Delaney and Martin and even Ryan are rock solid, and they've been playing very well. I think Martin has been a low-key revelation. She had the final product aside, I think she's been pretty good. I just don't know. I think that what we see in this game might actually be the starting 11 going forward, but we'll see. But going to this game, this starting 11 is Mandy in the back. We got an awesome defense of Bernina, Lopez, Krieger, and Nyswanger. Young guns in the midfield. We got Ryan, Martin, and Sheehan. And then that front line, Ruby, Purse, Gonzalez, and Williams. Your thoughts?
Fire. I mean, again, even with that long list of injured players, Gotham still have a strong starting 11 to go against Washington, who's another top team right now. Every game right now is really important, and getting all the points possible is the goal here. The attacking third, wow, I don't know. It's so good to see that lineup in the front. I think that's what I'm more excited about. That attacking third is what I'm most excited for this game. I mean, Midge, Esther, Williams, that's an unstoppable trio there.
Yeah, we get to bring Katie off the bench, which is another ridiculous thing.
Even when she got, well, we'll talk about that later. Go ahead. Yeah. What were your thoughts of this lineup?
But I mean, like, if the think about the beginning of the season, we were sitting there going, okay, we got Midge, we got Lynn, we got Ryan up front. This is a solid attacking core. Now we got Esther and Katie. And it's insanity. I believe this group of players, give or take one player here or there, is the starting 11 that's going to lead us into the postseason. I think the midfield trio of Martin, Sheehan, and Ryan is very good. And wow, that attacking front. Again, this is a ridiculous roster. It just keeps outdoing itself.
Exactly. It just keeps getting better and better with time. Even when Stengel was subbed in the second half, she was really dangerous.
Yeah. You know, Krieger works well with everybody, but I'm really liking the partnership of Mai, Lopez, and Krieger. I think Lopez gives us, again, a bit of height and excellent passing out of the back. I'm happy with Edmonds, Jean, or Lopez there. But yeah, it seems to be working. Now, the first half of this, Ruby, I'm going to go back to what we said earlier about this being the matchup of the top two pressing teams in women's soccer. I was looking forward to seeing which team was going to impose themselves on each other, because last game, Washington kind of got the better of Gotham. And before that, Gotham got the better of them. So it's been an interesting matchup, to say the least. And from the opening kick of this game, Gotham was 100% all over Washington. Washington completed 23 passes in Gotham's half in the first half. Gotham had 99. And I just got to say that Esther's movement is something else. She is off everybody's shoulder. She's dropping into space. She's combining. It was hard to track her from the stands. Never mind what it must be like for a defender to be chasing her around all game. For Washington, though, Rodman was pinned back. Sanchez was invisible. Hatch was smothered. Bogalski, the other forward, had 6 touches in the first half. Now, despite that dominance, Gotham was not very threatening. They were a little bit too patient. They were allowing Washington to load the box. They got everything but the goal in that first half. Ruby, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Hatch and Sanchez were like, I didn't even know if they were playing, because they barely like said their names during this game. It was such a great game. And I do agree with the patience part. I want them to go a little faster in the final third, just so they could like catch Washington off guard. But by the time Gotham wanted to get closer to goal, it was like a sea of white Washington jerseys in the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a quick cross or two would have done really well against them. Mm-hmm. Gotham had a tremendous, tremendous game plan to neutralize Washington. Rodman was shadowed by Lynn Williams, and the best thing to do to her is to just keep attacking her. Rodman was forced into 21 duels. Rodman was forced to play defense all game.
Yep. At times, she was like dueling with Midge a lot. And yeah, Lynn did a great job. Midge also did a great job with Rodman. We did see Midge going in that defensive work, like you mentioned. This is something Gotham has emphasized a lot, for players to be versatile and be able to not only defend, but also attack.
Yeah. Honestly, did we just they stuck Lynn Williams on her. They just shadowed her and just made her play defense the entire time. It was really, really good to see. There was also another interesting wrinkle in this game plan, which I actually enjoyed. My main concern going into this one was Nyswanger and Bernina getting too forward in the last game. Hash got behind them. Rodman got behind them. And I was afraid of that. But to combat that in this game, what they did is when those two went forward, Midge would shift back into their place and just provide cover for their speed and obviously give a little bit of defensive bite. I like that idea. And it obviously worked in the first half to shut them down.
Yeah.
Now in the awesome second work. Half. Yeah. Now in the second half, admittedly, Ruby, that first 15 minutes of the second half, I was very uneasy. Gotham was just too comfortable. And it started to feel like one of those games where you do everything right. You're dominating the game. The other team gets one chance, and then you're chasing the game the rest of the time. Luckily, that did not happen. And from the 60 minute on, it was just the SDR show. What a performance. What a home debut. Your thoughts in the second half?
Yeah, definitely everything you said on point. Because, yeah, I was feeling that way as well. Like, gosh, they're playing so well, but they're probably just going to score on them any minute. And Washington got really close to scoring on Gotham, but it also felt like a wake-up call for the team. After that happened, they started scoring, and we cannot deny it really did turn into the Esther Gonzalez show. It was such a delight watching her play, and she better be ready for the next three games because she needs to put on a show as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So let's just get to these goals that they scored. Now, the key to being a pressing team is you want to press for two main reasons. One is to overload areas. You want more players in a certain area than the other team. You want more attackers when they have defenders, and more defenders when they have attackers. So you want to pressure them also into making quick decisions higher up the pitch so that you can turn the ball over higher up the pitch and go closer to goal. And on this first goal, this was a Gotham masterclass. It was tactical brilliance on full display. The play starts off on the left side. If you're looking at it from Gotham's perspective, it's the left side, and it's like a 3-on-3, 4v3 on Washington's side. And what Washington likes to do is to, when they're in trouble, play back to Kingsbury, and Kingsbury makes that quick switch. And at that time, it was, again, 4-on-3 Gotham on that side. They play back to Kingsbury. She plays it over to Staub. And at that time, Staub is there by herself. It's like a 3-on-1 on that side. Gotham shifts over really quickly, and it becomes a 4-on-4. And they start pressing, and they start coming for Staub. Staub turns around, plays it back to Kingsbury again. And then if you look on the other side, it's a 3v1 with Sanchez jumping back into that space. And when Kingsbury puts their foot to the ball to play it to Sanchez, you can see it in the highlights. Here comes Nyswanger, here comes Krieger, here comes Martin, and now it's a 4v3. And Krieger is really fast. She gets onto Sanchez's heels really quickly, forcing her to play backwards. And again, when Washington's in trouble, they play back to Kingsbury. And Esther sees this a second early, and she jumps the lane, gets that ball. And then she's stuck in a position where she's by herself with her back to goal, and there's like three or four defenders near her, but she does the right thing and she's patient. She finds Ryan at the top of the box. And when this is happening, Sheehan comes from out of the screen to the center of the box to go after the center backs and to occupy them, which is very, very important, very smart. Ryan plays it over to Sheehan, and Esther has time to get back onside. And when the ball gets free from Delaney and Esther pounces on it, there were seven Washington defenders all facing Sheehan, all their eyes locked on Sheehan, which is the definition of ball watching. And Esther is so free. She's so free that the refs have to consider, how could she be so free in that area, that they pull up their flag and they have to go to VAR to check it, because she shouldn't be that wide open. But every part of that was played to perfection, and it's exactly what Gotham does to teams when they're pressing.
It was so amazing. But seven Washington defenders. That's crazy. And I did notice that when I was watching on TV how Esther was like running back because she noticed she was offsides. And to avoid offsides, she just kept going back. And like going back to the comment I said before, like how by the time Gotham wanted to attack, Washington defenders were like just everywhere in the box. This is a perfect example. Seven defenders in the box just trying to block that ball. And it kind of looked like Ryan was actually trying to go to goal. I don't know. And it got deflected. So, yeah, they blocked once. Sheehan tried to as well. It got blocked another time. And then Esther, like you said, unmarked. But all these Washington players, she was just ready. And she is hungry. And she scores. It was so great to see, honestly. It was such a great goal. And when they were trying to take that goal back, I was so mad. I was like, no, like, how could they not see that she actually ran back to get onside? So, but luckily we have VAR and that goal counted.
It was a very smart run from Sheehan. And that was the key to that entire play happening, just getting in the middle, occupying the defenders, pulls the defenders off Esther, and it freed her up a little bit. But Sheehan has been doing this a lot lately, and it doesn't go up on the stat sheet, but she's making the right runs, and she's been doing really well. I've been really impressed with Delaney, and that's a bigger conversation to have later about how good she's been, considering her journey with Gotham has been. Now, the second goal is a lot simpler. Mandy just has range, and she hits Esther with her back to goal, and she just flicks onto Williams. And this is funny. You know, there's a meme from the movie, I think it's Ghost, where Whoopi Goldberg's sitting there in the purple shirt, and she goes like, "You're in danger, girl." And when I saw Lynn Williams take that first touch into space, that is the thought that came into my head, because she was gone.
Yeah.
But good on Esther for keeping up with her. And it was just, Lynn was off to the races. Esther kept up with her, and she made the right run. Lynn put a perfect pace on that ball. And that soft touch, that soft first touch by Esther was just incredible. And she's just a killer. She just calmly blasted that one home.
Yeah, it really did. And yeah, like you said, once I saw that, when Williams was able to control that ball, I was like, game over. She controlled that ball. She passed the defender, and I was explaining that to my wife. I was like, look at Esther. She's like right next to William. She's like keeping up with her, because in other games in the past, we have mentioned this, where either Midge or Williams get to the top with the ball, but no one was there to give support to the player. So technically Williams or Midge had to wait on top for players to come up. But by that time, too many defenders from the other team were already there defending. So it was harder to score. So that happened in this game with Esther, it's something that Gotham was missing. It was really, really good to see. She got a brace at her first home game and almost a hat trick.
Absolutely. From the 60 minute on, as you said, Ruby, it was simply Gotham feeding the beast. It was everything funneled into Esther, and I'm completely fine with that. You know, Gotham gets one of their biggest wins in the Gotham era in this one, in front of an energetic 6K crowd. That was really nice to see.
And no Alex Morgan.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, we have three games. So that means three more Esther Gonzalez shows to go, and you guys better not miss it. I've been watching Esther closely since the World Cup started, and every time I saw her play, I would get like so excited, because I knew we knew it was unofficial that she was coming to Gotham, and because we knew like she was going to come here and she was just going to bring something special to the team.
Yeah, for the style of play that Juan Carlos wants, it's like she was created in a lab. She looks like she fits the part perfectly. You know, small item of note, but it does look like Krieger is having fun. After the season that we had last season and Orlando wasn't a world beater either. I think Allie looks like she's actually having fun. Hopefully Gotham can win something. It would be a fitting end to a legendary career.
Yeah, Gotham is getting closer and closer to winning something. It would be really like a really, really nice goodbye and closure to game four for Krieger. It will be hard, but this team looks really good right now. They're building that chemistry on the pitch, and they're also bonding outside the pitch. I saw on Instagram that they were in the city this past weekend, and it looked like a lot of fun. They were hanging out. They went to a rooftop. They were having all these funs. And this is really important, because when you have that energy outside the pitch, you also bring it in when you come into the game, because you're bonding with, technically become your best friends and sisters. And Allie Krieger was also there at this girls' night. She also was having fun outside the pitch. I think the morale is higher than ever, and they will give her their all.
Yeah, I really like the partnership between the Liberty and Gotham. Both teams are doing really well, and they're both close to getting, you know, in running for championships. So it's exciting. It's good for both of them, and it's good to see them at our games and Gotham at their games. And yeah, it's super fun. And I'll say this again. This is kind of it's weird that Gotham hasn't been playing up these last games of Allie's career. You know, who knows? Maybe she knows something, or maybe she's having too much fun and she changed her mind. You know, like everyone else, I think the way that she's smart with her body, I think that she could go another year. If she has lost a step, she's done a great job of hiding it.
That's wishful thinking to like have her come back next year again. That would be awesome. But again, no doubt, she's still one of the top players out there. She goes against these younger ones out there, just giving them a fight. It's incredible to see. I love for her to stay one more year, but I think it's time for her to start the next chapter of her career. I mean, it's hard being married with two kids. She's a legend, and her legacy will be one to remember for years to come. I think her next step will probably be television. We've seen her out there for Fox or CNN. No, not CNN, sorry. ESPN. Doing some stuff out there. And she seems to enjoy it.
I most likely think she's going to be coaching. She's got her coaching licenses, and her father was a coach. I think that's the most likely route, but she's obviously talented. So she probably do all the things.
That's good. She has options.
Yes. Let's get to some post-game quotes. Quote, I think the best teams that I've been on in the NWSL bring a whole different blend of cultures. And that's what Astaire brings, a Spanish flair, the same as my Lopez and Bernina. And that's from The Athletic.
I agree with that quote. If you mix all these cultures and different styles of play, you get something really magical. And that's what we have here. Esther definitely brought something special, that Spanish flair, but with a sprinkle of that New Jersey grit.
All right, Ruby, what's your stat of the game?
So for this game, Gotham had two big chances and scored on both. What about you?
Yes, we did. I have a couple stats. So from Opta, Esther is the sixth player in NWSL history to score a brace in one of her first two league appearances, and the second since 2015, which was Sophia Smith.
Look at her. She just got here and she's already like breaking records and stuff.
Absolutely. Also, I do have to point out that Gotham was tidy with the ball here. Lopez had 87% passing out of the back. Sheehan was 88, Ryan 87, and Williams was 79% pass accuracy. Woo. And then lastly, this is a ridiculous stat, and Krieger had 18 recoveries. No other defender on the field had more than 7. That means that an action of hers ended a possession of Washington and started a possession for Gotham. Again, 18 times in 90 minutes. That's every 5 minutes she stopped one of their possessions. Pretty wild.
Wow.
Let's get to our player of the week over on Twitter at Over Gotham Pod. Fan shows Esther. Thanks to the fans who voted. Do you agree, Ruby?
Well, the people have spoken, and I do agree.
Yes. Next question. All right. League news. So as expected, The NWSL officially announces that Boston will be the league's 15th team as an expansion rights have been awarded to Boston Unity Soccer Partners with a 2026 kickoff. Another majority female-led ownership group. That's more progress. I like it.
Yes, progress is good. Happy to see more teams in the NWSL. The league is growing, and the more the merrier. We know women's sports is the best investment right now, so I'm glad and I'm happy to see another team joining the NWSL. The only thing that will be tough for the next couple of years will be like having to let go of players due to the expansion.
Now, Boston is coming in with a 10,000-seat stadium, which I think is interesting because, I mean, that's as far as new stadiums are concerned, that's not a new stadium. They're revamping a stadium, but 10,000 does seem kind of low, which means they're probably going to have, hopefully, a lot of sellouts, which would be nice.
Yeah.
And I got into the NWSL 2015-ish, and so it was like that's when Boston was crashing out, and so I don't know too much firsthand knowledge of the if there was a rivalry. Maybe Cloud9 can tell us more about that, but I'm not sure if there really was a rivalry between Gotham and the Boston Breakers at the time. I know that Washington is supposed to be a rivalry because, you know, the Red Bulls and DC United played to no end early on in their careers, and there's a heated rivalry between them. So by proxy, it's like the proximity, you're supposed to not like them. I didn't get that feel from these games against Washington. I don't get that kind of rivalry feeling. It does get a little heated, but it's not, I don't feel it's a real rivalry. But we'll see what happens when Boston gets here. There's a huge New York-Boston sports rivalry. So maybe that would be a good way to reinvigorate both fan bases, hopefully. But what are your thoughts on these rivalries?
Yeah. Well, I don't think Gotham has a true rival as of now. Other than like when we play Angel City. And, you know, the reason I consider them rivals right now is because Angel City took our players, our coaches, staff, blah, blah. And they took it all from Gotham, and the fans took that personal. So every time we play Angel City, we have to win.
Yeah, it is true. All right, let's get to the standings. Ruby, what we got in the standings?
So right now in the standings, I'm just going to name the top six. We have Portland number one with 32 points. San Diego and Gotham share technically the second spot, but San Diego first with 30 points, then Gotham with 30 as well. Number four, North Carolina with 28. Number five, OL Reign with 27 points. And number six, we have Washington Spirit with 26.
Slight bit of separation this week that has not been there in a little while. Now we got six points that separate the top six teams, which is still three games to go. That's not enough. Even Washington can still jump up and get a shield if they really apply themselves. Other things would have to fall, but I still think the shield race is between the top three teams, which I think is Portland, San Diego, and Gotham. I think jumping 5 points in three games is going to be too much for North Carolina to get to. But this table is crazy. Still, no team has been eliminated and no team has clinched the playoffs, and we got three games left. That decision day is going to be absolutely insane. Ruby, what do you make of this table?
Like you said, it's just crazy. And I don't know who's going to get the shield because it's very, very competitive right now. I mean, I would love for Gotham to get it, but it will be really, really tough. And I'm just going to jump off here and just say that the six teams that I think might go to the playoffs because, I mean, it's very competitive right now. It's anyone's game right now. I'm going to say that the six teams that make the playoffs will be, I'll say, Gotham in no particular order. So it will be Gotham, Portland, San Diego, North Carolina, Washington. And I'm going to put in there Angel City. And the reason why is because since they've had Becky Tweed as their interim coach, they have not lost a game. And I think that's about 9 to 11 games. Was it 9 or 11 games?
No, they were at 11 or 12 now at this point, undefeated.
So, yeah, undefeated in 12 games. So it looks like they might make it. We just have to see.
Yeah, we'll see. My guess right now, I think Portland gets the Shield just because they're top, and I think that they have an interesting road to get there. They have to go through us, but I think in no order, the playoff teams for me are going to be Portland, San Diego, Gotham, Courage, Spirit, and Orlando. I think Orlando's going to get in there, and I don't want them in there because they're too unpredictable.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
Yeah. But let's get to our next opponent. We got hashtag once Gotham Caprice Didasco and Cameron Tucker at home 6:30 on Sunday night. There's a 2-week break between these matches. By the time you listen to this, it'll be a 1-week match, a 1-week break. Hopefully there's enough time for all of our players to get healthy and get off that injury list. Right now, Gotham looks really scary. Gotham leads the league in possession, 1 in the final third. Also leads the league in yellow cards by a comfortable margin. So we got that going for us. Houston is clinging on for dear life in the playoffs. There's a 1-0 victory over Racing that said it was their second win since early June. They are getting a new coach bump. Last in goals scored per match, but they're last in goals conceded per match. So we'll see. Your thoughts on this matchup, Ruby?
Going back to the yellow card thing, just in the last match with Washington, Gotham had 4 yellow cards and Ryan got a yellow card. So that's still, I think Ryan's still the player with the most yellow cards. Just to be careful there.
Yeah. Did you find out or do you know why Jenna got the yellow card earlier? I still have no idea why that happened, why she got a yellow card against Rodman. Did she kick the ball away? It was just really weird.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to rewatch the game because when I was trying to figure it out too, and it's not in the highlights because they just show the yellow card in the highlights, and I was like, wait, why didn't they just put it in the highlights? Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But my thoughts here: so 3 games left, and every one of them, it's a must win for Gotham. I'm really confident right now in our team with the upgrade in the front line. I mean, World Cup champ Esther Gonzalez, I think she brings something different to Gotham that Houston is not ready for.
Yeah, this is going to be a much different game in Harrison than in Houston.
Yeah.
Honestly, Gotham just needs to take care of business here. There's no other rhyme, reason, anything else. They just got to take care of business. It will be good to see Didasco in person again. But honestly, in this game, just keep feeding the beast. Let's go. And let's look at the games that are around the league, and we'll tell you what we think should happen between these 2 games. So there's going to be 2 meteor games this week. Not there was 1 last week. There's going to be 2 this week. So first up, we got the Washington Spirit versus Kansas City. Obviously, we want Kansas City. They're lower on the table to win that game. Yep. Any objection, Ruby?
No objection. Yep. Kansas City here.
Okay. And we are on the record as being Chicago Red Stars fans from here on out. And they are playing Racing. Tired of Racing. Keep them out of the playoffs. Let's go Chicago.
Yeah. Go Chicago. Go bring the pine cone, whatever you need. Just win.
Yes. Here's the first of 2 meteor games. This is the Portland Thorns at San Diego Wave. I think the best we can hope for is a draw. Let them each get 1 point. Yeah. And let's jump Portland with a win. All right. Then we got Gotham against Houston. We're going Gotham. Then, then the second meteor game is the OL Reign and the North Carolina Courage. Just blow it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get another draw. Best that we can hope for. And then, Monday, we have Angel City at Orlando Pride. That's an interesting one. That is going to be very heated. Both those teams playing for their playoff lives. And I don't know. You want to see, you picked Angel City in the playoffs. I picked Orlando in the playoffs. So I guess I'm rooting for Orlando. You're rooting for Angel City, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see who wins.
Okay, very good. So what are we manifesting this week?
I'm going to keep it simple. A win. That's it. Period. What about you?
Yeah. 3 points from here on out. Let's go. Any random thoughts before we get out of here?
Yes. So just wanted to say thank you to all the listeners who just stick with us and like the podcast and just sends us really nice messages. I just want to say thank you, guys. We really appreciate you. We really appreciate you guys listening to the show and giving your opinions week in and week out. You guys are the real MVPs. What about you?
I get a bunch of random thoughts. First, the Liberty are super fun to watch. So go Liberty. We are also a month away from A-League women's soccer. So with the increased investment that they're getting, I'm curious to see what Americans are going to play there in the offseason. So we're going to need to find a team to root for. All I know is hashtag once Gotham. Julia Grasso, the trialist, is playing there again this year, and she was really good last season. So
okay. That's
a start. And then we do stand with Jenny and all these Spanish players, obviously. Yes. We also, on this podcast, stand with the writers and the auto workers during their reflective action strikes, all that.
Yep.
Coco Gauff is incredible. I watched her last match and just the will to keep fighting that entire time. And she looked overmatched at times, but she just kept going. Yeah. Incredible, incredible match. Lastly, Boston sucks. Rest up, y'all. We need this energy the last couple of games. Bring it all. Let's go.
Let's go.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the TeePublic store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at soccerovergotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you. Yeah, good for her. Hold on a second, I'm dying over here.
I know.
That's funny. Oh, I went down the wrong pipe.
I said, don't die on me.
Yeah, like I caught your COVID over there. My headphones.